Digital 410 Productions proudly presents What's the Scuttlebutt Podcast with your host, Don Aberfield.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of the What's the Scuttlebutt Podcast. That's your favorite World War II based podcast. Yep, that's right, I just dropped the new from our tagline. You know, I've been thinking about changing that for a while, but someone actually hit me up on Instagram today and asked me, how long are you going to keep the phrase new in your slug line of your new favorite World War II based podcast? And yes, we have been around for a year, but for some people, we may still be new. Our show is definitely growing and expanding, but you know, I think we'll just keep new in there for a little bit, and at some point we'll change it. But anyhow, welcome to the show. It's been about a week or two. Yeah, going on 2 weeks. You know, I haven't been slacking off. I'm excited to announce that the Lakeland, Georgia World War II weekend event went spectacularly well, all things considering. The weather was nice and chilly. It was in the high 60s and 70s on Saturday afternoon, but Friday night, I got there around noon on Friday, and lo and behold, Google Maps took me the wrong way. So I'm driving down, I think it's 139, I'm taking the back roads. Interestingly enough, I actually crossed into Georgia via a two-lane thoroughfare. Once again, Google Maps took me off the main interstate about 40 miles before the destination. So the last 40 miles or so, I took a back road. But I turned on the old Burnt Church Road, which is where this event was taking place, at an old schoolhouse that had been relocated. It was originally built in 1926, and at some point, Bill Rockmore and his family acquired the building and relocated it, but more about Bill later. But so I'm driving down the road, and of course now my cell phone signal's cutting out, my Google Maps is cutting out, and I come across the Boy Scout campground. Now, for those of you who've listened to every episode, if you remember back when Jeremy Petrello was on the show, he explained that about a mile down from the location, there's a Boy Scout camp, and hopefully by the next event or the third one, at some point we will incorporate a tactical event into this weekend that would take place at the Boy Scout camp. And so from that conversation, I knew the Boy Scout camp was a mile from the location where we're having the event. And so I basically just turned around, went the other way, and I'm driving down Burnt Church Road, and I come to a main intersection. But as I cast my eyes about 200 yards down, I see a pyramid tent set up. And I was like, well, that's clearly my destination. And so I pulled in, and I registered, and I asked, hey, where am I going to set up my tent? Tim pointed over to the corner. He said, Allies Camp's over there next to Art Dersheimer. And I was like, come again? And now, once again, if you've listened to every episode of this podcast, Art has been on the show twice before. But I wasn't expecting a lot of Florida guys to be at this event because there was a conflicting scheduled event going on that weekend that I knew a lot of our Florida reenactors were going to be at. So I was anticipating being one of the few guys from Florida at the event. I was ecstatic when I pulled up and I saw Art and Sam Howell there. Two guys that I do a lot of events with. And so instantly, obviously I knew Jeremy and one of his guys from a previous event, but I was anticipating being at a place all weekend with only one or two people I knew, but not extremely well. And as a lot of you who've been in the living history for a long time, especially around the same core group of guys, a big part of this hobby is the company in which you keep. And so, yes, I would have been all right if I spent a weekend in Georgia around a whole new batch of people. But one could argue that there's a chance that it may have not as been as fun or not as been as comfortable. You know, who knows? But having those guys there, you know, we've been doing this together for years. And so it made the whole weekend more enjoyable. So not only did I get to meet new guys, but I got to be with my normal crew of guys. And by the way, Art and Sam was only two of the crew that was there from Florida. I mean, Jerry and his son was there, a couple of the other guys. And matter of fact, I would say 60%, maybe 70% of the reenactors at the Lakeland, Georgia event were from Florida. So Florida was heavily represented there. So, you know, I'm proud of all the Florida cats who went up there to support this first time event. I will have Jeremy Petrella coming on in maybe the next episode just to do a quick wrap up, kind of let everybody know what's going on in hopes that, you know, because anytime there's a first-time event, it's kind of exploratory as far as the reenacting groups go, as far as who all goes, how many people go. And so, you know, a small handful of guys will go check out the event for the first year and then report back to everybody else. And if they say it's worth it the following year, more and more guys will go, the event grows, and the better things get. As far as I'm concerned, it was a great weekend. Like I said, Friday, it was a little cold when I got there. It did rain in the afternoon, but not bad. I will say this is the first event I've ever done, despite the fact living in Florida that I have actually been rained on. But once again, it wasn't a big deal because Art and Sam had their pyramid tent set up. But it was interesting to see that my original 75-ish, 73-ish year-old pup tent that I have never treated, I don't know if someone else has treated in the last couple years, but at least while it's been in my possession, it has not been retreated. The water beaded off of it beautifully. I don't know if it's the original waterproofing or someone may have reapplied, but that was kind of nice to see how my original equipment would hold up to the weather. Anyhow, we all hung out that night, did what we normally do after the sun goes down in a reenactment. Saturday came, the public came out, sun came out, no rain, it got the 70s, we did a weapons demo, we did a nice little reenactment, and we had a great time, and I think everybody who was there had a great time. All in all, a first year event, it was wonderful, had a great time, looking forward to it next year. It's a short 5-hour drive from where I'm at. We'll have Jeremy on, like I said, maybe next episode, give us more details on that. But the reason I'm rambling on about the Lakeland, Georgia event is I got lucky in a way. I've decided to start taking my equipment with me to these events. One, to try to interview some fellow reenactors while we're there, but two, to be quite honest, is hopefully that I would run into a vet or someone who was alive during that era. And it just so happened, Saturday, we were doing our weapons demo, and there was a nice lady out in the audience, and Art was standing next to her. She looked like she's probably about in her early 80s. And Art was giving her a heads up, hey, this next gun is loud. You may want to hold your ears and so on and so forth. He was just having a great conversation with her. And after the weapons demo, we were all sitting back at our tent. And she walked over and she was thanking us for what we did. And a town resident came up and he kind of started showing off on her behalf. And as I would soon find out, this woman plays a huge part in the community of Lakeland, Georgia, and as did her husband for his passing. And so the guy asked this lady, whose name I would learn to be is Nell Rockmore. He said, Miss Nell, where were you at on Pearl Harbor? And Miss Nell laughed and said, I was a sophomore in college. And I looked over at Jerry Oxley and I said, I got to interview this lady. And so I listened to, you know, her and the gentleman, and I waited for their conversation to be done, and I introduced myself and I asked her if she'd be so kind, if she'd be interested to sit down and do an interview. She said yes. She was going to come back later that night for the USO show. She was going to go home and rest and come back, but she granted me an interview, and so I sat down with her, and much to my surprise, the Rockmores have published, and much to my surprise, when I asked her to come back for the interview, she presented me with this book. It's called Roots, Rocks, and Recollections by Nell Patton Rockmore. And this book is an entire story of her family. It's a little over 280 pages. And matter of fact, it had just been republished to include her grandchildren. The original first printing was done in 1989. Second printing was done in 1998. And the third printing was done in 2015. Now, the reason I bring this up is because there is an entire chapter in this book that her husband dictated for her, explaining his wartime memories. And so this is the first time that not only do I get to interview someone who was alive during that time, but they also have an entire chapter in a book that her husband dictated, presenting in some great detail some of his wartime experience. And so during this interview that's coming up, after the interview was done, I decided what I would do is to lift some information from this chapter, rephrase it a little bit, reword it, and as I'm talking to Miss Rockmore about her experience through World War II and her husband's experience, when we start to talk about his war experience, we will fade into his dictation of his World War II experience. And so this is just a sample of the chapter out of this book. Once again, the book is called Roots, Rocks, and Recollection by Nell Patton Rockmore. And so I hope you enjoy. digitized live from the ACT Computers Mobile Studio via Lakeland, Georgia. Welcome to another episode of the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast, your new favorite World War II podcast. And ignore the echo, we are recording live in Lakeland, Georgia, believe it or not. And we just finished up with the first day battle reenactment and USO show. And I had the great privilege, as we often do when we do these reenactments, to meet someone who, as I put it on our show, who, you know, those who were there. Joining us today is Nell Rockmore. Nell, how are you doing this evening?
Fine, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. Now, earlier today we had a reenactment, and actually, you know, you are such a character and it's such a sport. You made two separate trips out here today. You came this morning for the weapons demonstration, and that's when I met you, and I heard a gentleman ask you, where you were at during Pearl Harbor, and then that's how you and I got to talking. Then you went home, and then you came back for the battle reenactment, came home, went home again, and then came back for the USO show. So I greatly want to, first off, thank you for your efforts and your energy and coming down here three separate times today. That is fantastic. But let's go back a little bit. Let's start where it all began. Where were you born?
I was born right here. It was not Lakeland then, it was Milltown.
Milltown. I'm assuming, based on the name, a lot of sawmilling going on here?
Yes, we have a huge 11,000 acre pond here, and that's where the milling started.
So they would cut the trees down, float them down the lake over to the mill?
No, they had lumber preparation equipment that they brought the trees in by. Not trucks. We didn't have trucks back then. By wagon.
Sure.
They would come in on wagons.
And just for those listening, we are in a beautiful facility here. This building was built in
1926.
Has beautiful hard floors throughout. The USO show just ended, and we are located next to a very busy hallway. So if you hear some slamming in the background, we are fine. It's just a very busy building, and people are having a good time, and they're starting to clear out. The nice thing about this town, Lakeland, Georgia, it's still a very small community. First and foremost, you guys have a very interesting title. You guys are the Georgia Historical Mural City, and you have murals of people who grew up and kind of had an impact on this town. In past episodes, Jeremy, you know, talked to us about it, and so we kind of know about the murals, but you presented me today with a cool little app. You guys are extending the mural feature, and now you have an app so that as you drive around the city and you look at this, you know, brochure that you have, each destination has a numerical number assigned to it. You can pull up the app and play the audio, and you guys have this fantastic, some of them are diary entries that have been produced and read aloud, and different stories and firsthand accounts of the people that the mural is presenting.
Correct. They're all real people. I'm on one. I was 1.5 years old at the time, and my sister and I are on our real playhouse that our grandfather had built for us when we were little children.
Obviously, Valdosta and Georgia in general has changed significantly since, you know, 1941. But I would assume that's part of your draw and your love for your community is that it here hasn't changed that much. But what are some of the things that you can remember the biggest changes from that time in college to now in the Georgia area?
Oh, goodness.
It's kind of a broad question. I'm just...
The cell phone is the most popular thing that's happened since then. But radio came along in the 20s, and
yes,
that was exciting. And the first radio was in the drugstore.
Really?
Uptown, and people would gather in the drugstore to listen to the radio.
That's fantastic. As I alluded to, I heard the answer where you were in Pearl Harbor, so let's pick up there. Where were you during the Pearl Harbor attack?
I was in college in Valdosta, 20 miles from here. And the first I knew about the attack on Pearl Harbor, my college friend's parents came to visit her, and they told us that Pearl Harbor had been attacked. And I had never heard of Pearl Harbor.
Now, here you are, you're in college, and for all intents and purposes, the world just changed for you. Pearl Harbor just got bombed. You're hearing all these radio reports. A lot of the young men are now heading down to the local recruiting stations. What was some of the changes that happened here at home? What are some of the things that, you know, you and your counterparts did for your part of the war effort here back at home?
Well, we had no paved roads in this county when I was born. And we had a governor who lived here in Lakeland.
Really?
And he did so much. He was contemporary with Roosevelt, Franklin mm-hmm. Roosevelt. And he brought electricity here and running water and free school books and just so much modernization during his time.
Now, did a lot of the boys from this community, did they go off the war, I would assume?
Oh, yes. Everybody. People were so patriotic back then. The whole culture was so different, and it's a shame that that has been lost.
Yeah.
Everybody was, we never complained about doing without butter or car tires for the car.
It was April 18th, 1942. Jimmy Doolittle led a handful of B-25s from the deck of the aircraft carrier Hornet, which was on an inconsequential but morale-building raid on Japan. Meanwhile, back at home, nationwide rationing had been implemented, starting with automobile tires moving on to sugar and then gasoline. Following the rationing, air raid signal policies were announced, war bonds and savings stamp drivers were launched, and the entire nation seemed to be doing their part in the war effort.
Did the most of the community, was that where they made their living, was in milling or what?
Farming was the basic. Most of the people here were farmers.
Well, the good side about that is you guys were able to supplement your food and your income by growing your own food and mm-hmm. trading, I would assume, trading with your neighbors and helping, mm-hmm. you know, maintain.
Well, most farmers were small mm-hmm. farmers, and they raised their own chickens, they raised their own hogs, and did everything they needed. Almost everything they needed, they raised at home.
Sure.
We had no indoor toilets back then when I was born. Everybody had an outdoor privy.
Bill Rockmore was in his second year at Dahlonega, where all of the male students were members of the Reserve Officers Training Corps. Within the hour of the news of the Pearl Harbor bombing, half of the cadets were clamoring to join the military and teach the Japs a thing or two. But in reality, most of them finished out the school year in spite of the fact that the recruiters from all branches of service became commonplace on the campus.
At what point did you meet your husband?
We were both in college. He was in college in North Georgia, Dahlonega.
Okay.
And I met him on a blind date arranged by Governor Rivers' wife, who was a cousin.
Okay.
Who had a cousin lived in Gainesville, and she knew the man I married at college. So she was coming down to visit Ms. Rivers. And so Bill, my husband, asked her for a date. He was going to come over to Lakeland from Nashville and have a date with her. Well, in the meantime, her boyfriend, who was in the Navy, mm-hmm. came home.
Uh-oh.
So she wanted to be with him.
Sure.
So Ms. Rivers arranged for me to have a date with Bill, and he didn't know it till he got there to the Rivers house.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
So what turned out originally as probably a little bit of disappointment and frustration turned into one of the best things that ever happened to him.
It really, really did.
On May 14th, 1942, Bill enlisted in the Army Air Corps Activation Cadet Training Program and was subsequently placed on a detached service.
And so how long before he went off